of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself." That happened thousands of years ago, and we've been hiding from God ever since. There's something about our heart that when we do the wrong thing, and this is the follow-up of eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that we want to hide. We don't run to Him, we run away from Him. And all of the Bible is the story of God's pursuing a love relationship with His people. He wants to be in relationship with us. He didn't have to come to the garden to seek to find Adam and Eve because He didn't know where they were at. Right? He's God. He knew where they were at. He knew what had happened. He knew what was going on. And yet He went for them to let them know that He was pursuing them, that He wanted to be in a relationship with Him. We were created to know Him, to love Him, and to walk with Him. And from the first page of the Bible to the last, God is making a way to restore that loving relationship. Jesus and John call that kind of relationship abiding. John 15, as He is saying goodbye to His disciples from this earthly life, He begins to speak to them about what He wants them to remember. Listen as He says to them, He says, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments. These things have I spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full." And in the passage of Scripture that we're going to be looking at this morning, the Apostle John, who was there that night, whom the Gospel was named after and written by, is echoing those words of what it means to abide in Jesus, how to stay in His presence. And as I thought about how we would title this sermon this morning, I thought, well, why don't we call it abiding and not hiding? Because that's what we want to do, right? When we do the wrong thing, we want to hide. We want to find a place to get out of His sight and not let Him see. And it's interesting when you go back and you look at that passage of Scripture that we read about Adam when he was responding to God. He says, "I heard your voice and I was afraid." Many would translate that, "I heard your voice and I was ashamed, because I know I've done the wrong thing." And so John is going to talk to us in this passage of Scripture this morning. And if you have your Bibles, turn with me, if you would, please, to the book of 1 John chapter 2. If you're following along in the Bible in the chair, you should find that on page 862. As we work our way through the book of 1 John, we're going to be talking about how do we abide? What are the things that we need to do in order to stay in that love relationship with Him, in order to feel that sense of connection with Him day in and day out? I mean, I don't know if your day is like my day, but here's what my day often looks like. I will get up in the morning, I will have my coffee, I will sit down with my Bible, and I will read my Bible, and I'll spend some time reading my Bible, and I'll spend some time in prayer. And I say to myself, as I think through my day and what I'm going to be doing, "God, I'm going to need your help in here. I'm going to need you to come alongside and walk with me. Give me some insight. Give me some wisdom. Give me some strength to do some of these different things that I'm doing, or all of these things that I'm doing." And then I start out towards the door and towards my car. And halfway between my door and my car, the phone rings. And everything goes sideways. Right? All of the plan that I had, all the things that I was going to do, all the directions that I was going to take, all of the decisions that I was going to make, all the activities that I was going to be involved in, it all goes by the wayside. And sometime that night, it might be 6 o'clock, it might be 7 o'clock, it might be 10 o'clock, I'll sit back down and I'll think, what happened? What happened? How did I get it so wrong when I started so right? Am I the only guy that does that? How if I planned it so well and I was trying to lean into Him from the very beginning, how did it go sideways so quick? How did I get it wrong when I started so right? And that's what John is writing to us. Because at the end of the day, sometimes, often in the middle of the day, and sometimes between the door and the car, I find myself wanting to go hide in the bushes like Adam. You know, sometimes my response to the person on the phone is not what it should be. And by the time I get to my truck, I'm like, how did that happen? Where did that come from? And John writes to us And he says, there's some things that you can do, some things that you should do that will help you abide and not hide. They'll keep you out of the bushes, hiding from God. Now, I'm going to confess to you that this past Sunday night, after we had our service here on Sunday morning, I took the opportunity to go with my brother Rick down to First Baptist Church in Glen Arden and see a friend of mine, Pastor John Jenkins. Anybody know John Jenkins in First Baptist Glen Arden? It's a very small church. It only had like 18,000 people on Sunday morning. I've known John for a number of years, and John is an incredible... I look at him sometimes, I'm like, John, I wish I could preach like you. He is amazing. And even Rick, as he was, we were driving down there, we were talking. I was in one car, he was in the other. I had my Bluetooth on, okay? I had my Bluetooth on, we were talking. And he was like, I'm so excited to go hear John because he is always on. And he is. So we're going to do something that John did last week whenever he was talking and whenever he was preaching with his crowd. He would say something that he wanted people to remember, and then they would talk back to him. Now remember, it's primarily African-American church. So you guys got a ways to go. You better liven up, or otherwise it's going to be really sad around here this morning, okay? John says there's four things that you need to do if you want to learn how to abide. And the first one that he says we got to do is we have to hold on. So can somebody please help me out here and go, hold on. Oh, you're not so bad. Then we're going to have some fun this morning, okay? Notice what he says in 1 John chapter 2, beginning in verse 24. Let what you have heard from the beginning abide in you. Let the message that you have heard remain in your heart, is what he said. He's basically saying to the people that to whom he's writing, hold on. Hold on to that message. Let what you've heard from the beginning abide in you. If what you have heard from the beginning abides in you, then you too will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he made to us, eternal life. So the very first thing that John says to us about how do we make sure that we get from the morning to the evening walking with him instead of walking away from him, from the morning to the evening abiding in him instead of hiding from him, he says, hold on to the message that you heard from the beginning. So, begs the question, what is the message that we have heard from the beginning? If you go back and you look at 1 John, there's a couple of them. Number one, here's what you need to remember. God came looking for you. In exactly the same way that he came looking for Adam and Eve in the garden, he came looking for you and I. Here's what the Apostle Paul wrote to us in Romans. He said, listen, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Now, just pause and let that sink in for a moment, okay? He didn't wait until you got your life together. He didn't wait until you got all the pieces in place. He didn't wait until you got everything cleaned up and rearranged and where it needed to be. He didn't wait until your thoughts and your actions and your language and your behavior was all just right and pleasing in his sight. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He came looking for us. That's what he says to us in 1 John chapter 1. That which was from the beginning, speaking of Jesus, which we have heard, which we've seen with our eyes, which we've looked upon, and we've touched with our hands, concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest. It was put right there in front of our eyes, and we have seen it and testify to it and proclaim to you eternal life. Jesus looked at the people around him one day and he said, you don't understand. I came to seek and to save the lost. I came looking for people that are hiding from me in the bushes, that are running and hiding. You see, the other part of the message is this: God is on your side. When we do the wrong things, one of the reasons that we want to run and hide is because we think God is against us. But if God came looking for us while we were still sinners, he knows our life just as clearly as he knew the life of Adam and Eve, and he loves us and seeks us out in exactly the same way that he sought them out. And God is willing to forgive us 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So when I sin, and notice I said when and not if. Just follow me around for a day and you'll see what sin looks like. When I sin, instead of running away from Him to hide from His sight, I need to be running to Him so that I can quickly confess my sin and find the forgiveness that He bought and paid for on the cross. God paid for your sin. He is on your side. You have an advocate. That's what 1 John chapter 2 and verse 2 says. The judge, the one who has the right to pronounce sentence upon us, has given us an advocate, a lawyer. And not only that, but that advocate, that lawyer, who is constantly interceding for us, paid the price for our sin. God has paid for our sin. We don't have to run and hide any longer. We are welcome in His sight. And He promises us eternal life. Notice the end of what John says. I write these things to you so that you will know the forgiveness of the Father. Look, let what you have heard from the beginning abide in you. If what you've heard from the beginning abides in you, then you too will abide in the Son and the Father. And this is the promise that He made, eternal life. All of the Scripture, from Genesis to Revelation, is about the pursuit of God for people who have walked away from Him. John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son to be the price for our sin, to be the advocate on our behalf when we do sin. You know the story of the prodigal son? The one who looked at his father, turned his back, and walked away. And yet at the end of the story, when the son is finally returning home, the Bible says, after he came to his senses, the Scripture says, while he was still a long way away. Now think about that. When the son comes walking home from a distant land, having been disrespectful, disobedient, having walked away from his father and taken advantage of him, he did not have to walk up to the door and knock and wonder whether or not he was welcome. He didn't have to hide and find out. Because the father saw him coming a long way off. The first thing that John says to us is this: if you want to learn how to abide, to stay in that love relationship, to stay in that intimate connection of relationship, because that's what the word abide means. It means to stay connected, to be with someone, to remain with them, to stay with them, to dwell with them, to be present with them. Not just physically present, because you know it's possible to be physically present and both emotionally and spiritually distant, right? You know you can be with someone. Just watch a guy as he is looking at the football game and his wife trying to have a conversation with him. And you will see that it is possible to be there and not be there. Right? And that's what John is talking about. He says, if you want to abide, he says, remember the message that brought you out of the bushes and into the presence of God in the first place. That God is looking for you, that He's willing to forgive you, that He's on your side, that He paid the price for your sin, and He has promised you eternal life, and no one is going to take that away. Because what happens is, when we do the wrong thing, we don't hold on, and we let someone else come alongside and begin to whisper in our ear and convince us that God doesn't want to see us. They convince us that He's not going to forgive us again. That He's not for us, that He's against us because of our sin. Right? That's what we hear in our ears. So John says to us, to the church to whom he's writing, you want to learn how to abide, the very first thing you have to do is what? Hold on. Thank you, buddy. There's you and me. We're the only two that got it. The very first thing you have to do is what? Hold on. There you go. Now we're there. Come on. Me and you and Jonathan now. The Marines came through, baby. That's what we need. Thank you. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Note to self, do not encourage the Marines. Second thing you have to do is you have to watch out. Can somebody say that? Watch out. Okay, you got to hold on. You got to watch out. Now look at the next verse. Notice what he says here. I write these things to you, verse 26, about those who are trying to deceive you. John's like, fair warning, watch out. There are some out there who are trying to deceive you. Listen to what that word means. It means to cause you to roam. You ever roam away from the Father? Ought to be abiding. Instead, I'm out for a walk. To cause you to roam from safety or truth or virtue. To go astray. You ever gone astray? It means to be deceived, to err, to be seduced away from the truth, to wander or to be out of the way, as in lost. Sounds like the course of a day, doesn't it? We do all of those things in the course of a day. Now, who is it? What is it that's trying to deceive us? Well, if you think about what John has said to us and what he's going to say to us in this book, here's a couple of different things for you. Number one, Satan's still in the business. The evil one is still in the business of trying to deceive the children of God. You know that, right? A fellow by the name of Rick Warren, great pastor out in California, says this. He says, you're not being paranoid if they really are out to get you. Think about that. The devil is like a roaring lion, the Bible says, wandering about, seeking whom he may devour, looking for an easy target. The evil one is against you. There's the devil, the spirit. Then there's a whole group of people who want to lead you astray as well. Now, John, contextually, is writing about the people that have left and separated from the church there in 1 John. So here's what we think as we try and go back a couple thousand years and diagnose what has taken place. Probably in the church in Ephesus, that John came in and taught, and it was a common practice in that day, whether it was John or whether it was Peter or whether it was Paul, that there would be a group of people, when the apostles left, they would slide in right behind them. And then they would say, well, you know, that's what John said, and you know, that's maybe what Paul said, maybe that's what Peter said, but we know just a little bit better. And there's a whole group of them, and you can identify historically, half a dozen different kinds of groups. But let me give you a couple of different options. One of them was the Gnostics. Okay, the Gnostics were people who said, you know what? Yes, it's good to know about Jesus and it's good to know about the Bible, but there's some special secret knowledge that only we have. And you need to add that to the Bible. Sound familiar? You know, watch late night TV and somebody will come on and they'll go, here's the extra books that you never had before. Get these and you'll know what you need to know. So you got the Gnostics. Then you had a whole group of people who were still trying to figure out who Jesus was. There was one group that said, you know what? He was just human and the Spirit came on him at the baptism and it left him at the crucifixion. And so he wasn't really God and man simultaneously. It was the opposite of that. They said that he only looked human, but he was really just a spirit. Didn't have a body, you know, didn't have any of that kind of stuff. Then you had the whole group of them out there who were Jewish believers who started off on the path. And then when persecution began to increase and things started to get hot, they're like, we're going back to temple. We're not going to do this. There's all different kinds of people out there who have come in to John. John goes so far as to say this a little later on in his letter. He says to the church, listen, don't worry about it. Yeah, they were here, but they went out from among us because they never really were part of us. They were here, they were present, but their hearts were never connected. They were not abiding. They never were holding on to the same message that you heard from the beginning. And so John says to him, listen, you got to look out for that. And then the passage that Pastor Warren preached on a couple of weeks ago, this will get you in a lot of trouble. This will put you in the bushes instead of abiding with him. This will cause you to run and hide the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. You go out and pick those out. You know, what is it that my body craves? What is it that my eyes look at and say, I must have that? What is it that appeals to my sense of pride? And then James, he throws his two cents worth in. He goes, you know what? Every man sins when he's tempted by his own desires and follows after that which he shouldn't want. And so John is writing to the church. And he says to them, listen, you want to abide in God. You want to walk with Him. You want to be as intimately connected with Him throughout the day as you were that moment that you were sitting in your easy chair, having your coffee, reading your Bible and praying. You want to keep that relationship vibrant and alive throughout the course of a day. Number one, what do you got to do? Oh, come on. You're with me now, aren't you, buddy? You got it. You got to hold on. Number two, you got to do what? You got to watch out. You got to watch out. John says to them, listen, things haven't changed a single bit since the garden. If anything, it is worse. Because in the course of your day, you're going to hear, look at that. Don't you want that? It's okay. No one will know. You can take it. You can have it. No one will see. It's good for you. You deserve it. Exactly the same things that were said in the garden. And if we aren't careful, we find ourselves hiding in shame because we've gone down a path that we never wanted to follow because we weren't watching out. So John says to us, listen, you want to abide? Here's what you do. You hold on to the message from the beginning. You watch out for those that are trying to deceive you. They're all around you when you think about it. You have the spiritual with the evil one. You have the people around you with those who are trying to deceive and teach the wrong thing. You have the world with the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And you got yourself. You got a 1, 2, 3, 4 punch right there. You better watch out. You're going to end up in a world of hurt. And the next thing he says to us is this. He says, you better learn how to listen. Listen up. Somebody tell me, listen up. Oh, you're getting better at this. We're going to have fun. Notice what he says here in this next couple of verses. But the anointing that you received from Him abides in you. Parenthesis. Anointing, talking about the Holy Spirit that comes to live in us when we give our life to Jesus Christ. He comes to dwell within our heart and in our life. And He's never going to leave, the Scripture says. Let what you heard from the beginning abide in you. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, then you too will abide in the Son and in the Father. This is the promise that He made, eternal life. Watch out for those who are trying to deceive you. And then He says, listen up. But the anointing that you received from Him abides in you, and you have no need that anyone should teach you. You don't need those people to slide up beside you and teach you things that you don't know. There's no secret knowledge that God didn't give you. He's written it all down for you to understand. You have no need that anyone should teach you, but His anointing teaches you about everything, and it is true, and it is no lie, just as it has been taught you. Abide in Him. That's what Jesus said to us. He said, when He comes, He will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. So this anointing, this power from on high, the Holy Spirit living within our heart gives us the spiritual wisdom to walk with Him and the spiritual strength to follow what He calls us to do. Here's what I would say. The anointing empowers our abiding. Does that make sense? The Holy Spirit living within us gives us the spiritual strength, gives us the spiritual wisdom, gives us the spiritual insight to abide in Him. That's why John says, listen, you don't need to hear from anyone else. He's residing within your heart. You don't have need that anyone should teach you. But His anointing teaches you about everything, and it's true, it's no lie, just as it taught you, abide in Him, remain in Him, stay in Him. The anointing empowers the abiding. When you learn to surrender to the guidance of the Holy Spirit living within you, He's going to give you the way that you need to live in order to be pleasing to God. You see, the problem isn't that He's not speaking to us. The problem is that we're not listening right? I'm sitting in my easy chair. I'm drinking my coffee. I'm reading my Bible. I'm praying. I'm listening. And then somewhere between my chair and my truck, everything goes sideways. And all of a sudden, I'm listening to you and you and them and them and the other people and the circumstances and the problems and the issues and the concerns. And it never once occurs to me sometimes to stop, hit the pause button and go, okay, God, what do you think about this? What do you think about this? What is it that I need to hear that I'm not listening to? I'll ask everyone around me, what do you think? And sometimes I forget to ask the one who knows. Did you hear it when Rick said it last week? I've mentioned it to you once or twice before, but he mentioned it last week, and I think it bears repeating. He said this. He said, somewhere around age 60, it occurred to him that he who knows nothing, when he prays, talking to the one who knows everything, does all the talking and won't shut up, so that the one who knows can't get a word in edgewise. So it begs the question, when's the last time you stopped your talking and started listening to what he had to say? Because if he, I said this a couple years ago, if he speaks in a still, small, quiet voice, most of us will never hear him. Because there's no quiet spot in our life. We live margin to margin, 24/7, day in and day out, without ever pausing to listen to the one who knows everything. And what John is saying to us is, listen up. He's there. We just aren't listening to him. He's there with all the power that we need. We just aren't depending on him. He's there guiding us, whispering to us, yes, no, do that, don't do that. But we're not surrendering to him. Does that make sense? Jesus says when he comes, he's going to convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. He's going to convict us in regard to guilt. He's going to let us know when something isn't right. You can feel it on the inside, right? You're starting down a path. Someone's asking you to make a decision. Someone's asking you to do something. And it just isn't right. You feel, you know it. It's that still, small, quiet voice on the inside where the Holy Spirit is going, don't you go there. This is not going to end well. What do? Turn the volume down. It'll be okay. I'll be fine. Or sometimes it's the opposite of that. He's going to let us know what's right. There's an opportunity and we're thinking to ourselves, I wonder if I should do that. And you feel that little push behind you. It's like, yeah, I should go there. I should do that. I should say that. I should take that action. I could go in that direction. And we're like, well, I wonder. He nudges us again. That's the Holy Spirit within. So I was talking with somebody one time, and they're like, you know, I was praying about this decision, and I was so confused. I didn't know what I should do. And then I was driving down the road, and I was thinking about it, and all of a sudden, out of the blue, a scripture verse that I hadn't thought about in years came to mind. Do you think that was God? Well, duh. Yeah, that's him. Those things I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. And see, let me give you an example. Wednesday, Thursday, I had an appointment with someone that I didn't know. They were a missionary for a number of different organizations, worked with a group of people. And as we were getting to know one another, they were talking with me and they were asking whether or not our church would consider support them and being a part of their ministry and so on. I said, well, explain to me what you do. So they were walking through a couple of different things. And then one of the things they said to me was this. They said, you know what? I am a certified chaplain with Samaritan's Purse. Great organization. Okay? So I'm a certified chaplain with Samaritan's Purse. I was with them all the way back when they started and there were 12 people in a room. And so she said, now I'm a chaplain. I just got notification this week that they're going to do a call up for our chaplains. And they're going to be sending some of us, and I don't know if I'm going or not, but they're going to be sending some of us to Syria. And she said that, and on the inside I felt it. It was like, I didn't say anything at the time, but I could feel it. And as we were talking, I was processing in the back of my mind, I wonder if that's just me, because, you know, I watch the news and I know that probably Syria is not a great place right at the moment for a blonde-haired, blue-eyed, white-skinned female from the United States. You know what I'm saying? If God calls you there, okay. But from a human perspective, which isn't always right, from a human perspective, So we talked and went on and said a word. Well, about 20 minutes later, we finished up. She looked at me and she said, "Will you do me a favor?" I'm like, "Sure, what do you need?" She said, "Would you pray for me? Because I'm struggling with this decision about whether or not I should go to Syria if they call me." She said it and I felt it again. Now, one of the advantages of being old and not having very much hair is all of a sudden you just don't worry about what people think anymore. You just say what you think needs to be said. You don't have to be rude. You don't have to be obnoxious. But you just do need to say what needs to be said. And she said that. I looked her dead down. I said, "Can I tell you something?" I said, "The witness of my spirit, both times that you have said that, is I don't think that's a very wise decision. That might just be me and the news. But what I think and what I feel in my gut, from my spirit within, says, I'm not sure this is the right choice." And she looked at me, and you know what she said? "I feel the same way." It's a witness of the Spirit. When He comes, Jesus said, He will guide you into all righteousness. When He comes, He will convict you of sin and righteousness and judgment. He will tell you what to do. But in order for that to happen, what do we have to do? We have to listen up. The problem is we're listening to everybody and everything except Him. And so maybe what we need to do is turn off the iPad and the iPod, put down the headphones, turn down the volume, and find a quiet place to hear Him and listen up. And then the final thing that He says to us is this. Not only do you need to hold on, not only do you need to watch out, not only do you need to listen up, He said, finally, you need to look up. Notice how He finishes up this passage of Scripture. Verse 28, "And now, little children, abide in Him, so that when He appears," as the Scripture says, when He comes in glory in the clouds, "when He appears, we may have confidence and not shrink from Him in shame at His coming. If you know that He is righteous, you may be sure that everyone who practices righteousness has been born of Him." What do we need to do? We need to look up. We need to prepare ourselves for the coming of Christ. We need to abide in Him so that when He appears, we can be confident. Because see, here's the reality. The reality is that we're either going to be confident when He comes, or we're going to be hiding when He comes. We're going to be abiding, we're going to be hiding. We're either going to go, "Oh boy, He's here," or, "Oh no, where do I go?" We're going to be out there hiding in the bushes. It's kind of like what happens when somebody calls you and they're like, "Hey, I'm in the neighborhood, just going to drop by for a moment." The house was perfectly fine 13 seconds ago, right? But then all of a sudden you look at it and you're like, "What?" It's like when my mother-in-law used to be coming to visit. I'm like, "You're kidding me. Darlene, I promise you, your mother is not going to get on her hands and knees in our bedroom and look under our bed to see if there are any dust bunnies." And somebody said the same thing in the first service. "Oh, yes, she will. Oh, yes, she will." It didn't matter. I had to clean them out. I had to get ready. And that's what John is saying to us. He's saying, get ready, because you're going to have one or two responses when that trumpet blows. Either, "Oh, no," or, "Oh, boy." You're going to be abiding and ready to go, or you're going to be hiding and drawing back, the word means, in shame. To hide from the sight of you. You and Adam are going to be hiding in the bushes together. Because He's there when you hear His voice. It's that old adage that my grandmother used to say, or maybe your aunt or your uncle or your parents. You want to be doing that when Jesus comes back? You want to be looking at that when Jesus comes back? You want to be talking that way when Jesus comes back? You want to be in that place when Jesus comes back? And the answer to that question is no, then don't go there. Don't be there. If it's going to cause you to shrink back in shame, then don't go, don't do, don't say those things. See, John is encouraging us to live in light of this imminent coming of Christ. Because that's the next thing on The plan of the ages is for Christ to return for His people. In fact, He's saying here, abide in Him, it's a grammatical device, so that when He comes, you'll be confident and not wanting to draw back and run away. John's saying if you keep reminding yourself that He can come at any moment, it's going to help you live for Him. So four things that you need to do this week. You ready? If you want to abide and not hide, what's the first thing you got to do? Hold on. What's the second thing you got to do? Watch out. What's the third thing you got to do? Listen up. What's the fourth thing you got to do? Look up. Okay? So, let's go and ask this question. How do you abide and not hide? You do those four things. You got to know and believe the truth. So, you can't hold on to what you don't know. So, if you are going to hold on to the message that you heard from the beginning, then you need to be in some kind of Bible study, Bible reading, Bible memorization. You figure out what kind of program you need to be in. You and Jesus can work on that, but you better be hiding something in your heart. You can't hold on to what you ain't got. And one of the reasons sometimes that we find ourselves in the bushes is because we haven't read what He said so that we know what to do. And we're not listening to what He's saying on the inside. We go to everyone else and we get their opinion of whether or not we should do it, but we don't listen to Him. The second thing is we need to obey and live the truth. Look at this. This Gabeline fellow, a great commentator, says this. He says, it's not enough merely to have heard and agreed with the message in time past. The message must continue to be present, got to hold on to it, and active in the lives of those who have heard it. They must continually call it to mind and depend on the power, listen up, of the Holy Spirit to help them live it out daily. You go back and you look at the kinds of things that John said in the first two chapters and what he's going to say in the next three chapters about what it means to know and to live out the truth. You remember what Rick said last week, right? Sometimes we talk the talk and sometimes we walk the walk. But our walk talks louder than our talk. We have to live it out. Same thing Gabeline is saying, that we need to learn to listen to the Holy Spirit and allow Him to give wisdom, allow Him to give insight, allow Him to give direction into our life. It's one thing to know that I'm supposed to love my brother. It's quite another to love him. Because frankly, some of you folks are unlovable. Oh, come on. You can laugh. You're not that bad. Don't you think that I'm unlovable sometimes? Ask my wife. She will tell you. People can be unlovable, but we love them anyway, right? We care for them anyway. We serve them anyway, because that's what God would call us to. Some of us, we're loving the wrong thing. We're loving the world. It says, love not the things of the world. We love the world. We love the things of the flesh. We need to break up with some people that we're in, some things that we're in a relationship with. Because we're going the wrong path, living the wrong way, doing the wrong thing. We need to listen to the Holy Spirit within saying, that's not right. And begin to ask Him for the strength that we need to live that way. Because you see, here's the reality. If you're walking with Him and you're abiding with Him, we're in church, we sing His songs, it's awesome, we feel connected to Him. It's not going to take us very long when we leave here. All somebody has to do is cut us off in traffic. That abiding thing, it went fast, didn't it? It's gone. Abide nothing. I'm going to put Him in the bushes. It's true. That's the way we are. And when that happens, we come to our senses and we go, gosh, how did I do that again? And everything within us wants to draw back in shame from the Father. And that's the point which we need to run to Him and not away. Maybe that's where you are this morning. Maybe you came not connected to Him, but far, far removed. The message that we have heard from the beginning is this: God loves you. He came seeking you. He is on your side. He is your advocate. He wants to be in a relationship with you. Maybe you heard that last week when Rick was preaching. And when he called people to come into a relationship, he called people to come and pray, everything within you said, I need to go. But you didn't. You drew back because you weren't sure. Here's my challenge to you this morning. It's not too late. You can still come to the Father. He is still looking for you. He still loves you. He still is on your side. He still is pursuing you and wants to be in relationship with you. Don't run away from Him. Run to Him. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for today, for the opportunity we have to open Your Word and to study it. I thank You for John, how he communicates to us how we can stay in that relationship with You. And Lord, I confess to You that too many times, like Adam and like Eve, I run from You rather than to You. Too many times I find myself hiding rather than abiding. And so I pray for myself, I pray for our congregation that this morning, for those who find themselves far removed from You, those who have wandered, those who have strayed, those perhaps who have never yet come home, today will be the day that they will really believe that You are on their side and that You welcome them home with open arms. In this next few moments as we sing, would You do a work of grace in the hearts of Your people? Will You do what only You can do as You draw people to Yourself? We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.